live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, February 19th, 2021. Coming up this hour,
the lights come back in Texas as attention turns to preventing the next crisis.
Senator Ted Cruz returns to the state after coming under fire for his Mexican vacation.
The U.S. opens the door for Iran, saying it's willing to discuss restoring the nuclear deal.
The tri-state area remains under a winter weather advisory. Plus, Perseverance is now on Mars looking for signs of life. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Scott Seidenberg. Rangers and Devils win, Islanders lose, the Nets beat the Lakers, and an update on the Aussie Open. That and more coming up in sports.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. U.S. futures are higher this morning as we head into the final trading day of the week. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up about 13 points. Dow futures up 72. NASDAQ futures up 58. The DAX in Germany is up 0.6%. 10-year Treasury down 3/32. The yield 1.30%, and the yield on the 2-year 0.10%. Nathan.
Karen, we begin in Texas, where the lights are coming back on after a week of rolling blackouts. Now the conversation turns to preventing a crisis like this from happening again. Governor Greg Abbott says he's ordering an investigation.
Texans deserve answers about why these shortfalls occurred and how they're going to be corrected, and Texans will get those answers.
A little under 200,000 Texans remain in the dark. While four of the state's largest oil refineries suffered widespread damage, those facilities could be down for weeks. There are many factors that made this situation unique to Texas. We get more from Bloomberg's Rachel Adams-Heard in Houston.
We're off in our own little island here in Texas. We also have a deregulated power market since 99. We also don't have a forward capacity market. So there are a lot of things that make the Texas power market unique. And I think all of those elements are going to be something that need to be looked at as we try to figure out what exactly happened and how we can prevent it moving forward.
While Texas recovers from the crisis, there's still potential for prolonged fuel shortages in the area. Oil prices are coming off this week's highs. NYMEX crude is down 1.9% or $1.14 to $59.38 a barrel. Brent is down 1.4% at $63.06.
Senator Ted Cruz is back in his home state of Texas. He came under heavy fire for heading to Cancun during the energy crisis, and Bloomberg's Ed Baxter reports.
He faced criticism as well from public officials and the media for abandoning his state in the middle of a freezing cold crisis. He says the trip was suggested by his daughters, who were cold.
My intention was to take care of my family, which was the intention of Texans, every Texan across the country and across the state who lost heat, lost light. You were doing the same thing. You were taking care of your family.
He says the trip was scheduled to last through Sunday, but felt it best to return. In San Francisco, I'm Ed Baxter, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Ed, thank you. Back in the nation's capital, there's news on the tense relationship between the U.S. and Iran. The White House says it's willing to meet with Iranian leaders to restore the nuclear deal. Ann Cates has the latest from our Bloomberg 99.1 newsroom in Washington.
The Biden administration says it is willing to discuss with Iran a diplomatic way forward to return to the nuclear pact that President Trump withdrew from in 2018. The State Department says the U.S. would accept an invitation to attend a meeting with other participants in the agreement, including China, Russia, and the U.K. European officials welcomed the overture, but Iran's foreign minister suggested it did not go far enough and called for the U.S. to first reverse Trump's sanctions before we comply with the terms of the nuclear accord. In Washington, Ann Cates, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, and thank you. Turning to the pandemic now, the president travels to Michigan today for a visit to the plant where Pfizer manufactures its coronavirus vaccine. The facility, just outside Kalamazoo, is Pfizer's largest manufacturing plant. So far, the U.S. has administered more than 59 million total vaccine doses. Get the latest on the effort from our Bloomberg vaccine tracker online at Bloomberg.com.
And that visit comes with the U.S. vaccine supply set to double in the coming months. For the latest on that, we're joined live by Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
Nathan, vaccine manufacturing manufacturers and U.S. officials are accelerating production timelines and signaling the spigots are about to open. This will provide hundreds of millions of doses to match the growing capacity to give shots at pharmacies and mass vaccination sites. A review of drug makers' public statements and supply deals suggests the number of vaccines delivered should rise to almost 20 million a week next month. By summer, it should be enough to give 4.5 million shots a day. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. Turning to financial news now, members of the House sparred with leaders of Robinhood and Citadel, pressing the firms on their treatment of retail investors. Robinhood's Vlad Tenev was the main target. He said his firm did nothing wrong when it restricted trading in stocks like GameStop and AMC.
Robinhood Securities put the restrictions in place in an effort to meet increased regulatory deposit requirements, not to help hedge funds. We don't answer to hedge funds.
Citadel CEO Ken Griffin did not field quite as many questions as Tenev, but made it clear he had no role in Robinhood's decision making.
We had no role in Robinhood's decision to limit trading in GameStop or any of the other meme stocks. I first learned of Robinhood's trading restrictions only after they were publicly announced.
Testimony lasted about 5 hours. Indiana Republican Trey Hollingsworth was among those questioning the witnesses. We spoke with him at the conclusion of the hearing.
I would have preferred a hearing that was a lot more focused on some of the challenges that exist in the infrastructure of the market that created some of these issues, right? I think we should be asking ourselves whether a brokerage firm should be able to cease trading in certain securities with virtually no notice to their clients.
Hollingsworth spoke with our chief Washington correspondent, Kevin Cirilli, on Bloomberg Sound On. Catch the program weekdays at 5 p.m. on Bloomberg Radio.
Another big hearing set for next month in Washington. The CEOs of Facebook, Google, and Twitter will testify as Congress gears up for a new round of tech scrutiny. Two separate House committees say they'll examine the power of the companies.
And Uber shares are down about 3.5% in early trading. The ride-hailing company has lost a legal battle in the UK. The country's top court has ruled on the employment status of Uber drivers, saying they are workers. It's a ruling that threatens the company's business model. And futures this morning are rising. S&P futures, they're up 10 points. Dow futures up 53. NASDAQ futures up 49. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
And at 6:07 on Wall Street, we check in with Michael Barr once again for more on what's going on in New York and around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. The latest weather system is on the back end of its trek through the tri-state area, but it's not done yet. Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolyn has the latest.
Michael, a winter weather advisory remains in effect for the tri-state area. It's due to the fact it's a little treacherous out there this morning with some very light freezing rain and freezing drizzle falling across the area. That should transition back to a little bit of light snow later today as we turn colder aloft. An additional inch may fall on top of the 2 to 4 inches that we've already picked up, so it does remain slippery throughout the day. The good news is systems east of us by tonight we dry out and for lots of sunshine this weekend. Michael?
Thank you very much, Rob. A man has been arrested in connection to an Asian woman being shoved and injured on a Queens street, a case that was spotlighted by actress Olivia Munn. Authorities say 47-year-old Patrick Mateo is facing assault and harassment charges. Munn has been speaking out about an increase in crimes against Asian Americans across the country during the pandemic. For a third time, the Democrat-led Assembly has moved a deadline for Governor Phil Murphy to act on legislation setting up New Jersey's recreational marijuana plan. The new deadline is Monday. The change stems from the winter weather and as Murphy and lawmakers negotiate changes to the bills. NASA successfully landed its most sophisticated science rover on Mars. NASA's Mike Watkins.
We have just landed a representative of the planet Earth on a place on Mars that no one has ever been to.
Perseverance touched down in an ancient river that may contain signs of whether the planet ever harbored life. After waiting months in Mexico, people seeking asylum in the U.S. are starting to be allowed into the country as they wait for courts to decide on their cases. It's unwinding one of the Trump administration's immigration policies. Meanwhile, Democrats introduced an immigration reform bill yesterday that aims to improve border security and offer an 8-year pathway to citizenship. California Congresswoman Linda Sanchez is one of the lawmakers behind the bill.
There will be a rigorous process for making sure that these folks should be on the path to citizenship.
Sanchez says the bill rewards immigrants who are already members of U.S. communities. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 6:09 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update with Scott Seidenberg.
Thanks, Nathan. The Nets beat the Lakers last night 109-98 behind a stellar shooting night from Joe Harris. 6 of 7 from three-point range. He scored 21 points. James Harden led the way with 23 points and 11 assists. Kyrie Irving scored 16. LeBron James made some history in the loss, becoming the third player in NBA history to reach 35,000 career points, joining Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Karl Malone. The Nets now stay in L.A. They'll face the Clippers on Sunday. The NBA announced its All-Star starter pool, and the Nets' big three will be down in Atlanta. Kevin Durant was named a captain for the game, along with LeBron James, after the two received the most votes. Joining Durant in the starting pool, Kyrie Irving and James Harden. The All-Star game will be played on March 7th. College hoops, Rutgers fell to number 3 Michigan 71-64. On the ice, the Rangers snapped their 4-game skid, beating the Flyers in a shootout 3-2. The Devils, meanwhile, took care of the Bruins 3-2, winning their second straight since returning from their COVID layoff. The Islanders' 3-game winning streak comes to an end as they fell to the Penguins 4-1. Football news, the Eagles have agreed to trade quarterback Carson Wentz to the Colts for a 2021 third-round pick and a conditional 2022 second-round pick that could become a first-rounder. Tennis at the Australian Open. Daniil Medvedev defeated Stefanos Tsitsipas to advance to the men's final, where he'll face Novak Djokovic. The women's final is set for tomorrow. Naomi Osaka will face American Jennifer Brady, Brady making her first Grand Slam final. I'm Scott Seidenberg with Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Thank you, Scott. Join us tonight for Bloomberg Business of Sports. He's a correspondent for 60 Minutes, a commentator for the Tennis Channel, and a New York Times best-selling author. We speak with the executive editor for Sports Illustrated, John Wertheim, tonight at 7 and tomorrow at 11 a.m. on Bloomberg Radio. Or subscribe to Bloomberg Business of Sports wherever you get your podcasts. S&P futures up 9, Dow futures up 45, NASDAQ futures up 46 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather, winter weather advisory till 7 tonight. Freezing rain gradually changes to another inch of light snow. Highs in the low 30s. Mix of sun and clouds. High near 35 tomorrow. Mostly sunny, 35 on Sunday. Right now, wintry mix and 30 degrees.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
Good morning. I'm Karen Moscow. We are watching earnings this morning with Deere & Company, the largest maker of agricultural machinery, boosting its 2021 outlook as rising crop prices and an improving farm economy lift demand for tractors and other equipment. Futures are higher this morning. S&P futures up 8 points. Dow futures up 38. NASDAQ futures up 43. The DAX in Germany's up 0.5%. 10-year Treasury down 3/32, yield 1.30%. And the yield on the 2-year, 0.10%. NYMEX crude oil is down 2.2% or $1.31 at $59.21 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.25% or $4.70 at $17.70.30 an ounce. The euro, 1.2141 against the dollar. British pound, 1.40. And the yen is at 105.33. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, the White House says FEMA is assisting state and local officials on the ground in Texas. It comes as many Texans finally have electricity back after a deadly blast of winter this week overwhelmed the electrical grid and left millions shivering in the cold for days. A few hundred thousand still remain without lights. The extreme weather has been blamed for the deaths of at least 56 people. The Biden administration said it would be willing to meet with Iran to discuss a diplomatic way forward in efforts to return to the nuclear deal quit by President Donald Trump in 2018. In the NBA, the Nets beat the Lakers 110-96. In the NHL, the Devils beat the Bruins 3-2. The Rangers won in a shootout with the Flyers 3-2. The Islanders lost. The Capitals were winners. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
All right, Michael, thanks. It's 6:19 on Wall Street, live from the Bloomberg Interactive. Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. We turn our attention now to the pandemic and a possible surge in vaccinations on the way. A Bloomberg analysis shows supplies in this country are poised to double in the coming weeks and months, and that could allow a broad expansion of the number of shots getting into people's arms. For more on this, we're joined by Dr. Stuart Ray, Vice Chair of Medicine at the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. It's always good to have you on with us, Doctor. Right now, we're at about 1.6 million doses administered per day, and according to the Bloomberg analysis, based on what the manufacturers are saying, it could be up to 4.5 million by the summer. Is that the pace we're going to need to get to herd immunity?
Yes, I think that's right, and it's great to be with you, Nathan. The pace that we're on now, 1.5 million, would take months, maybe 8 months, to get 75% of the population vaccinated. So if we can double this capacity and keep on ramping up using multiple sites for vaccination, it seems like we're going to get there much quicker and hopefully stem another spike. But we're all worried about what's happening in the next month or two.
I would imagine we're also worried as well about the possibility of more strains of coronavirus evolving in that interim amount of months. What's your concern there?
I think it's twofold. One is emerging data that these variants of concern are less susceptible to the responses that are generated by prior infection and by vaccination. They still seem to be effective, though, and I think these vaccines, and so we think that it's important that people get vaccinated to mitigate disease, that the responses that people generate are complex enough and strong enough that people will be protected, but it may blunt some of the effectiveness. I think the other concern is that we have some blind spots nationally because of inadequate molecular epidemiology, checking what variants are arising here in the United States. We have a huge epidemic, and we're only ramping up the sequencing of the variants that are present in the United States. If there are new variants arising here, we might be unaware of some of them. And so we need more tracking of that on a national scale. I think that's in the works with CDC.
Well, what's it going to take to ramp up that surveillance? I got to think that this would be a pretty daunting task to get the surveillance capacity to a level that we'd all like to see.
Well, fortunately, the tools were circulated very early on, and so a lot of sites have been doing it in a patchwork. I think the important thing is that the CDC is now doing more with coordination of that response, getting the data centralized and analyzed so that we have some eyes on this. There are variants that are rising. They don't seem to be as complex as the ones in the South Africa and Brazil. That seem to be evading most effectively. And so hopefully we're not going to have a big problem, but we need to have a clear vision on this in order to do it. The good thing is the genomics projects nationwide have a lot of capacity for sequencing. We just have to have people using a coherent set of tools.
There was a study out of Israel just came out in recent days showing that a single dose of the Pfizer-BioNTech vaccine reduces COVID infections by 85%. That's a pretty staggering efficacy level. Is extending the two-shot vaccine or even just taking one dose something people should consider?
Well, it's tempting, but I think the problem is that we know from some of the studies that the antibody responses will wane fairly quickly after just one dose. The second dose not only boosts those responses, but also solidifies them. I think the other caution is that less than complete protection could give rise to more variants because incomplete suppression is just exactly what these variants are driven by. It's people probably who are infected for a long period of time have evolution of the virus in their body and then transmit to someone else. And so what we need is really potent immune responses in those who've been vaccinated. But I think if our capacity were not growing, then we'd need to be thinking about single dose vaccine for these two-shot constructs.
All right. Always great to have you on with us to get your insights, Dr. Stuart Ray. Thank you so much for joining us. Stuart Ray is Vice Chair of Medicine at the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine. Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Interactive Brokers. IBKR charges margin loan rates from 0.75% to 1.59%. Rates subject to change. Learn more at ibkr.com/compare. Taking a look at markets this morning, futures are moving higher as we get set for the open on this Friday. S&P futures are up 9 points, Dow futures up 44, NASDAQ futures on the rise by 50 points. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, the yield now 1.30%, yield on the 2-year 0.10%. Oil prices moving off their highs of the week. NYMEX crude down 2.3%, I should say, to $59.13 a barrel. Stay with us. You are listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg Daybreak brought to you by Land Rover. Introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover. Above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130. To Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991. To Boston, Bloomberg 1061. To San Francisco, Bloomberg 960. To the country, Sirius XM Channel 119. And around the globe, the Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We're just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. The lights are coming back on in Texas after a week of rolling blackouts. Now the conversation turns to preventing a crisis like this from happening again. Governor Greg Abbott says he's ordering an investigation.
I want everyone to know that all of us in the state of Texas believe it is completely unacceptable that you had to endure 1 minute of the challenge that you faced.
A little under 200,000 Texans remain in the dark, while four of the state's largest oil refineries suffered widespread damage. Those facilities could be down for weeks.
Another major story we're following, news on U.S.-Iran relations. The White House says it's willing to meet with Iranian leaders to restore the nuclear deal. It's a first step toward easing tensions that rose steadily over the last 4 years. Donald Trump pulled the U.S. out of the Iran deal in 2018.
Turning to the pandemic now, the Biden administration is preparing to double the number of coronavirus vaccines available in the coming weeks. And we get the very latest live with Bloomberg's John Tucker. John.
Karen, the spigots are about to open. A review of drug makers' public statements and supply deals suggests the number of vaccines delivered should rise to almost 20 million a week in March. And by summer, it would be enough to get 4.5 million shots a day. The supply surge comes with growing capacity to give vaccines at pharmacies and mass vaccination sites. Meantime, a study in Israel shows a single dose of Pfizer shot reduced COVID-19 infections by 85%. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thank you. On the same day, the House held a hearing on the retail stock trading frenzy. Another big one's being scheduled for next month. The CEOs of Facebook, Google, and Twitter are set to testify. The story from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellet.
Two separate House committees announced plans to examine the power of the major tech companies. Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg, Alphabet CEO Sundar Pichai, and Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey will appear virtually at a March 25th hearing before a House Energy and Commerce Joint Subcommittee hearing on online misinformation and disinformation. Charlie Pellet, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thank you. And Uber shares are down about 2.5% in early trading. The ride-hailing company has lost a legal battle in the UK. The country's top court has ruled on the employment status of Uber drivers, saying they are workers. S&P futures are higher this morning, up 8 points. Dow futures up 29. NASDAQ futures up 45. And the 10-year Treasury down 1/32, yield 1.30%. Straight ahead, your latest local headlines, plus a check of sports. And this is Bloomberg.
6:33 on Wall Street. This news update is brought to you by Land Rover. Introducing the 2020 Land Rover Defender, Motor Trend's 2021 SUV of the year. Put the Defender's capabilities to the test at your local Land Rover retailer. Land Rover, above and beyond. Good morning, Michael Barr.
Good morning, Nathan. It is the ice that is the problem today as the tri-state area is under a winter weather advisory. We had freezing rain on top of snow, and more is in the forecast before it all clears out by this evening. The winter storms have caused problems with the latest shipments of COVID vaccinations in the tri-state area. New York Mayor Bill de Blasio on the delays.
35,000 appointments had to be held back. We never like doing that. We don't want to do that. We need supply so that we can keep giving people the support they need and get the shots in people's arms so we can protect them.
At least one vaccination site in Staten Island will open later today at the Empire Outlets. The storms also closed vaccination sites in New Jersey. The New York City motorists will soon have to pay more at the MTA crossings. The MTA board announced yesterday that it will increase rates at the agency's 9 bridges and tunnels, and a new charge will be included for drivers who do not use their Easy Pass tags properly. The MTA says the changes will happen sometime in April. Senator Ted Cruz returned to Texas after coming under harsh criticism for flying to Cancun, Mexico with his family while his state is dealing with widespread power outages. Cruz spoke to ABC affiliate KTRK in Houston.
As a leader, you need to be here, and you need to be here when Texans were hurting, and that's why I didn't feel good about it even as we were heading out. I knew why we said yes, but I was thinking it was a mistake almost from the outset.
Cruz added the impetus for the trip was because his children were cold. The U.S. has a new rover on Mars. Perseverance landed without a hitch yesterday on the red planet. NASA's Thomas Zurbuchen.
This is not an end, but a beginning. Now the amazing science starts, you know, and I'm so looking forward to the science that's coming come there. Every yard on the surface of Mars is a yard of Mars sample return.
Now Perseverance gets to work rooting around Mars for signs of life. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr, and this is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. 6:35 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg Sports Update. Here's Scott Seidenberg.
Good morning, Nathan. The Nets defeated the Lakers last night, 109-98. James Harden led the way with 23 points and 11 assists. Kyrie Irving chipped in 16 points. Joe Harris had 21 points on 6 of 7 from three-point range. LeBron James made some history in the loss, becoming the third player in NBA history to reach 35,000 career points, joining Kareem Abdul-Jabbar and Karl Malone. The Nets now stay in L.A. They'll face the Clippers on Sunday. Tomorrow's Knicks-Spurs game has been postponed due to a COVID outbreak with San Antonio. Knicks will host the Timberwolves on Sunday. College hoops, Rutgers fell to number 3 Michigan 71-64. On the ice, the Rangers snapped their 4-game skid, beating the Flyers in a shootout 3-2. Colin Blackwell and Brendan Smith scored in regulation for the Blue Shirts, Artemi Panarin and Kaapo Kakko in the shootout. Up next, the Rangers are in Washington to face the Caps tomorrow night. The Devils, meanwhile, took care of the Bruins 3-2, winning their second straight since returning from their COVID layoff. Kyle Palmieri scored twice, his first two goals of the season, one of them shorthanded. Mackenzie Blackwood made 25 saves. The Devils host the Sabres tomorrow. The Islanders' 3-game winning streak comes to an end as they fell to the Penguins 4-1. Brock Nelson scored the lone goal. Semyon Varlamov made 31 saves in defeat. The two teams are back at it again tomorrow night. Tennis at the Australian Open. Daniil Medvedev defeated Stefanos Tsitsipas to advance to the men's final, where he'll face Novak Djokovic. The women's final is set for tomorrow. Naomi Osaka will face American Jennifer Brady, Brady making her first Grand Slam final. I'm Scott Seidenberg with Bloomberg Sports. Nathan?
Scott, thank you. 6:37 on Wall Street. Time now to take a look at stocks and some of the names moving in the pre-market this morning with Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson. And Dave, we've already gotten a pretty big earnings report early this morning.
Yeah, we did. About a half an hour ago, figures came out from Deere, and the shares are up 2.5% in early trading. The farm equipment makers' earnings and revenue for the fiscal first quarter were far above analyst average estimates in a Bloomberg survey. And Deere raised its full-year profit forecast by about 26%. And then you have Applied Materials, which came out with fiscal first quarter results late yesterday. The chip equipment maker up 4.5%. Figures for the first quarter surpassed projections. Beyond that, profit and sales forecast for the fiscal second quarter easily beat estimates.
Interesting with all the turmoil surrounding the chip industry of late. Now, I know you've been watching Palantir Technologies for much of this week. Quite a turnaround in the stock this morning.
It's up 5.5% at the moment, and the maker of data analysis software has had 6 straight losses. That's the longest losing streak since it began trading publicly in September. Palantir fell 34% as about four-fifths of its stock became free to trade. There had been restrictions in connection with its direct listing. Uber Technologies down 2.5%. The U.K. Supreme Court ruled the ride-hailing company's drivers are entitled to rights such as a minimum wage, holiday pay, and rest breaks. The ruling ended a five-year fight over the status of Uber's drivers. Some pluses after earnings. You're seeing Roku, the maker of streaming video players, up 2.5%. The company had an unexpected fourth-quarter profit thanks to demand for its programming service. Arista Networks, maker of networking equipment, up 5%. And Universal Display, provider of LED screen technology, up 2%. On the other hand, Trade Desk, online advertising company, down 1%, even though fourth-quarter results and first-quarter forecasts were higher than estimates. Now, Trade Desk had risen more than sixfold from a low last March. You've also got Quidel, maker of medical tests, down 3.5%. And TripAdvisor, the online travel company, was down 2.5% in late trading yesterday. Haven't seen any buying or selling in the stock today. Novavax up 11%. The vaccine maker agreed to provide 1.1 billion doses of its experimental COVID-19 shot to a public-private partnership that operates worldwide. Novavax will get help making and distributing the vaccine from the Serum Institute of India. And we got to throw in a blank check company, Nathan. Forest Road Acquisition up 11.5%. It's higher after some of its backers filed for a second company, Forest Road Acquisition 2. And, by the way, former NBA star Shaquille O'Neal is an advisor to the new blank check company.
Yeah, everybody's getting in on the SPACs. Very interesting. Bloomberg Stocks editor Dave Wilson, thank you as always. Looking at stocks as a whole ahead of the open, they're higher. S&P futures up almost 9 points right now. Dow futures up 41. NASDAQ futures, a gain of almost 47 points. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, the yield 1.29%. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg 11:30 weather. Winter weather advisory till 7 tonight. Freezing rain gradually changes to another inch of light snow, low 30s. Mix of sun and clouds tomorrow, mid 30s. Mostly sunny, 35 for Sunday. Right now, snow and 30 in Central Park.
News.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at Bloomberg Quick Take. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and futures this morning on the rise while NYMEX crude oil drops. Let's go to the first word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. U.S. futures are posting modest gains right now, with Dow futures up 43 points, S&P's gain 9, NASDAQ futures are higher by 48. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.3%, gold is down 4, and Shanghai rose 0.6% overnight, while European markets are trading mostly higher this morning. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 9:45, market U.S. manufacturing PMI, and at 10 o'clock, existing home sales. After the bell last night, Applied Materials gave a strong forecast on chip gear demand. Stock is up 5% in the pre-market, and Roku Q4 platform revenue beat estimates. Regarding earnings this morning, Deere beat estimates, and in other news, Bitcoin is back above 52,000. Elon Musk defended Tesla's $1.5 billion bet on the cryptocurrency. In deal news, IBM is mulling a sale of its Watson healthcare business. And wrapping things up, Kraft Heinz cut to neutral over at JP Morgan. Live from the First of Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen.
All right, Bill, thank you. And here live breaking news over your Bloomberg. Type squawk on your terminal, SQUAWK. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. Senator Ted Cruz is now back home after criticism he flew off to Cancun with his family in the middle of a weather and power crisis in his state. According to Cruz, the vacation was his daughter's idea and that, quote, it was obviously a mistake. Cruz says he'll be working to find out what went wrong with the state's power grid. The United States is once again part of the Paris Climate Accord. World leaders are applauding today's formal return to the mostly voluntary 2015 agreement, saying it is symbolic and important. In the NBA, the Nets beat the Lakers 110-96. In the NHL, the Devils beat the Bruins 3-2. The Rangers won in a shootout with the Flyers 3-2. The Islanders lost. The Capitals were winners. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Bloomberg Quick Take, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
How to judge Mitch McConnell's post-Trump strategy. I'm Carl Smith, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. Mitch McConnell upset nearly everyone in Washington last week when he voted not to convict Donald Trump, but condemned the former president nonetheless as morally and practically responsible for January 6th. Trump hit back at the senator, charging that McConnell represented the beltway-first approach to governing. That characterization, however, goes a long way in explaining why McConnell didn't vote to convict. The only punishment that could have applied would have been to bar Trump from running for office. Rank-and-file Republicans would have seen that as a ploy by the top Republican in Congress to deny Trump the 2024 nomination against the will of the voters. That in turn would have fueled the anti-Washington narrative that Trump and his loyalists intend to run on in 2022 and beyond. McConnell attempted to deny them that political ground while still making it clear that Trump's actions were intolerable. It was a gamble by McConnell, and only time will tell if it worked. I'm Carl Smith. For more opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPINGO on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time. Terminal customers can read more at OPINGO. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios. We're at 6:50 on Wall Street. Time now to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include President Biden to visit a Pfizer vaccine plant in Michigan as U.S. shots against COVID-19 accelerate. Lawmakers spar with the CEOs of Robinhood and Citadel over the retail trading frenzy. And Senator Ted Cruz returns to Texas facing criticism over his family's Cancun trip. Also making news, President Biden to abandon America First in an appeal for U.S. partnership. And for more, we're joined by Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins. And Emily, I think we got a glimpse of where this is going in the news from Michael there with the U.S. Rejoining the Paris Climate Agreement. President's taking part in a pair of global conferences today, and it's probably safe to say there's going to be a pretty major pivot from the prior administration.
Yeah, Nathan, I think on the whole, that's definitely fair to say. You know, while former President Trump removed himself from the World Health Organization, the Paris Climate Accord, President Biden has taken steps to really put the U.S. back into those agreements. He's talked about more outreach, more building alliances with U.S. allies. One area that I feel like I should put out that you're not going to see a giant pivot from the Trump administration to the Biden administration is on China. President Trump was seen as pretty aggressive on China, and now President Biden is sort of set to follow in those footsteps, continuing pressure on the country in regards to things such as trade and human rights abuses.
Well, what specifically are we expecting to hear from the president when he speaks today to the G7 and the Munich Security Conference?
I think Biden's main message is going to be one of that the U.S. is back, that they're willing to reengage with their allies, and that the U.S. once again wants to sort of play a major part on the world stage. And look, this isn't necessarily going to be something easy for President Biden. Definitely the polls have shown that, you know, faith from the international community has been shaken a little bit in the U.S. after Americans elected President Trump and sort of saw his American First, more isolationist policies.
In the meantime, the president is making that trip to Michigan today that he was supposed to have yesterday to visit this Pfizer vaccine plant. Tell us more about that.
Yeah, so Biden's going to be traveling to the Pfizer vaccine plant in Michigan. Obviously, Michigan was a key state to hand Biden his victory back in November. And he'll sort of be going back there as part of sort of, I think, a larger push by his administration to really emphasize the COVID-19 crisis right now, emphasize what the administration is doing. If you remember, while he was still on the campaign trail, Biden said that his goal would be to have 1 million vaccines per day for his first 100 days. They've well surpassed that at this point. In fact, President Biden reset that number at 1.5 million. And now, according to the Bloomberg vaccine tracker, we're up to 1.6 million. So you're definitely seeing a lot of progress in terms of the vaccines that are being produced. There are still a lot of questions, though, about vaccine distribution, who is getting the vaccine, and how difficult it is for people to access those vaccine appointments.
Less than a minute left here. Obviously, a lot of attention yesterday on the retail stock trading frenzy. Was any new light shed on it by the House Financial Services Committee?
Well, it was a hearing that really did center a lot around Robinhood's CEO, Vlad Tenev. He apologized multiple times for Robinhood restricting the sales of GameStop stock. And it seemed that if there was one thing that lawmakers were particularly interested, it was the payment for order flow, which is a revenue generator for Robinhood. They wanted to know more about how that played into Robinhood's ability to do free commissions and how it might have played into the giant spike and then rapid fall of GameStop stock.
Bloomberg government reporter Emily Wilkins, thank you as always. Read more about all these stories at Bloomberg.com or on the Bloomberg terminal and listen to Bloomberg Radio in Washington, Bloomberg 99.1 and 105.7 FM HD2. Karen.
All right, Nathan, thank you. At 6:54 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg NJIT STEM Report. It's brought to you by New Jersey Institute of Technology. NJIT makes research breakthroughs and is ranked one of the nation's most research-intensive universities by Carnegie Classification. More at njit.edu/R1. Now, here's what's making news in science, technology, engineering, and math. COVID vaccine developers are set to begin trials in pregnant women, looking to provide reassurance that the shots are safe for expected mothers. According to the U.S. online clinical trial registry, Pfizer and partner BioNTech are starting trials for their messenger RNA vaccine in 4,000 women in the latter stages of pregnancy. The companies will run a mid-stage study for 350 volunteers between 27 and 34 weeks gestation to confirm safety before moving into advanced trials for women between 24 and 34 weeks pregnant. Apple launching its first iPhones with 5G wireless speeds a few months ago. Now it's looking to start work on sixth-generation cellular connectivity, or 6G. Apple this week posted job ads seeking wireless system research engineers for current and next-generation networks. And Roush Fenway Racing says it has been certified as the first carbon-neutral NASCAR team. To become a carbon neutral, the team set a goal to recycle 90% of every race car, including oil, rubber, aluminum, and carbon fiber. The organization has reduced its overall waste produced to more than 100 tons over the last decade, switching to LED lighting throughout its campus and installed reflective roofing membranes to reduce solar heat gain. And that's a Bloomberg NJIT STEM report. Nathan.
All right, Karen, thank you. 6:56 on Wall Street. February is Black History Month, and Bloomberg Radio is celebrating pivotal moments in U.S. Black history each day. Here with today's installment is Bloomberg's Renita Young.
On this day in Black history in 2002, Vonetta Flowers becomes the first Black woman to win a gold medal in the Winter Olympic Games. She and her partner Jill Bracken won the inaugural women's two-person bobsled event, which was the first medal for a U.S. bobsled team in 46 years. But bobsledding was only one of the sports Flowers mastered. She participated in track and field, volleyball, and basketball in high school, and she accepted a track and field scholarship to the University of Alabama at Birmingham, becoming one of the university's most decorated athletes. Flowers' track and field background was a huge advantage in bobsled, and she quickly became the number one break woman in the United States. So in May of 2011, Flowers was inducted into the Alabama Sports Hall of Fame. That's Today in Black History. I'm Renita Young, Bloomberg Radio.
All right, Renita, thank you. And again, futures are higher this morning. S&P futures up about 7 points. Dow futures up 24. NASDAQ futures up 41. The 10-year Treasury down 1/32. The yield 1.30%. And we're watching NYMEX crude oil down 2.4%. It's at $59.08 a barrel. Bloomberg surveillance is straight ahead with Tom Keene, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Nathan Hager, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.